Bibles to the book of Jonah. If your Bible's like mine, it's on page 850. Give you a minute to find it. It's over in the Old Testament. That's a hint. I want to read chapter 2 of the book of Jonah for you this morning. And listen to these words, because these words are a prayer. We have lots of prayers recorded in the Bible. Make an interesting study to go through the Bible sometime and read the prayers that are recorded in the Bible, wouldn't it? All of the different prayers. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And verse 10 says, And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, we need the introduction to this message from chapter 1. Who is this fellow, Jonah, anyway? And what is he doing in a fish's belly, of all places? That's certainly a strange place to be, isn't it? In a fish's belly. I don't think I've ever heard of anybody else in all of history that has prayed to God from a place like that, in the belly of a fish. Well, first off, Jonah was a prophet, an Old Testament prophet of God that lived in Israel way back about 775 years before Jesus was born. And he prophesied during a time when there was a king by the name of Jeroboam II on the throne of Israel. Now, God would use this prophet Jonah on occasion to speak for him to the people of Israel. That's the way God communicated with the people in the Old Testament days. He would select one man out here who would be a prophet, his spokesman, and God would speak to him, give him a message, and he'd say, Now you tell these people thus and so. And God would go ahead and tell him what to tell the people, and then he would stand up before the people and say, Thus saith the Lord, and give him the message of God. And that's what Jonah was. And at this particular time, in in history, the Assyrians, they lived over in that part of the country that we call Iran today. Back then it was called Assyria. And they were ruled by a fellow by the name of Ashurdan III. And it's strange that those Assyrians over there posed a threat to the security of the nation of Israel. Does that sound familiar? They're over there today developing a bomb, and they say that when we get this bomb completed, we're going to drop it in the middle of Jerusalem and we're going to blow Israel off the map. That's not new. They did this nearly 3,000 years ago. That's what they were going to do. In fact, 50 years later, they did invade Israel, and they did take all of the people, the ones they didn't kill, they took them into captivity and scattered them amongst other nations. Now, God is going to give Assyria a chance to repent of what they're going to do. So he's going to send Jonah down there to them. That's the way God does things. He didn't just drop fire and brimstone from heaven right in the middle of Assyria. He gave them warning first. God always gives warning before he sends his judgment. He doesn't just cold cock you with that when your back is turned. He always warns you of what's going to happen to you. And he did that then. And so he wanted Jonah to be his spokesman and go into the city of Nineveh, which was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and warn them. He's going to tell them, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He's going to give them 40 days to repent. God said, go. Jonah said, no. God does not like to be told no. Jonah didn't want to go. And I don't really know why, but I kind of think that he didn't want God to spare Israel's enemies. Because later on, even after he went through the city and told them, yet 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. And what did he do? He went up here on top of a hill outside town and sat there for 40 days. He wanted to see what God was going to do. He was going to see the fireworks when God rained down fire and brimstone on that city like he did Sodom and Gomorrah. So I have an idea that he wanted God to destroy them and he didn't want them to get spared. But the problem was, he just deliberately refused to do what God wanted him to do. He refused. Now, it could have been because he's having a bad hair day. I don't know. But he just flat didn't want to go. So, to escape his responsibility, he tried to flee from the presence of God. Now, you tell me, where can you go to get away from God? He thought he had a place called Tarshish. So he went down to Joppa, paid the fare and got aboard a ship that was going to Tarshish. He was going to flee from God's presence. He was going to go to a place where God couldn't find him. He was kind of like Adam. You know, after Adam sinned, he heard God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And instead of running out there to meet him and fellowshipping with him, he ran the other direction, found him some bushes to hide from God in. Adam, where art thou? God knew where he was, and he found him. You can't get away from God. Period. I don't care where you go. You can move out of state, change your name, change your occupation. God still knows who you are and where you are and what you're doing. So Jonah became a paying passenger on this ship. And the Lord knew where he was and where he was headed, and God sent out a strong wind that stirred up the waves of the sea, and there was a great storm, and the ship was just about to go down, and the sailors were out there throwing off everything on the ship to lighten the ship. Jonah was down in the sides of the ship, asleep. They went down and woke him up and told him to pray. Pray to God. Well, to make a long story short, Jonah realized that it was his fault that the lives of all these guys on board this ship were in jeopardy. His disobedience to God was what brought on the storm in the first place. And he told these sailors, he said, cast me into the sea, and it will become calm unto you. For I know that it is for my sake that this great tempest is come upon you. It's all my fault. But if you'll throw me over the side, get rid of me off of this ship, then there'll be a calm and your lives will be spared. Well, they were humane people. They didn't want to do that. So they rowed hard to try to get that boat to shore, but they just couldn't make it. And finally, they picked him up and threw him over the side of that vessel into the raging waters. And the wind stopped blowing. And the waves settled down. And there was a great calm. But here's Jonah out there in the water. God had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And it did. In one big gulp. Now, you think about this. Fish swallow their food whole. It's a good thing that he didn't have to chew. Or Jonah would have had some real problems. But this fish swallowed him in one big gulp. And that was quite fortunate for Jonah. And here he finds himself as he goes down the gullet of this fish, winds up in his stomach down here, with all the rest of the food that this fish had swallowed. He was there for 3 days and 3 nights. That's a long time. Now, he's alive. But what did he do when he was in that fish's belly? He finally prayed I don't know whether he prayed at the beginning or whether he prayed at the end. But he prayed. And when he prayed, well, he might as well pray. He couldn't watch television or anything like that. I have an idea the reception would have been pretty bad down there. He couldn't see. It was probably dark. And he couldn't see. And there wasn't anything else to do. He couldn't even play checkers. He didn't have anybody to play checkers with. So he prayed. And to show you the power of his prayer, the Bible says there in verse 10, the Lord spake unto the fish. The fish heard and the fish understood and the fish obeyed God. And it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now there's another miracle. Because if he'd been out here a couple of miles offshore and vomited him out there, old Jonah, probably weak after 3 days and three nights in the fish's belly, couldn't have swum all the way to the shore. He would have drowned. But God spoke to the fish, and that fish pulled up there to the shore and upchucked, and there went Jonah on dry land. On dry land. Now, Jonah tells us here that being in that fish's belly was like being in the belly of hell. Use your imagination and think what it must have been like to have been in that fish's belly. Can you see the human impossibility of this situation? There's no way out except God. He's inside this great fish, and like a giant submarine, that thing had taken him down. He said that he went down into the depths of the sea to the bottoms of the mountains. And then he prayed unto the Lord. The Lord heard his prayer. The Lord answered his prayer. You see, he thought he was out of God's sight. He thought God couldn't see him where he was. But God could, and God did. Jonah said in his prayer, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Hey, you're down here in a fish's belly in the bottom of a sea. How do you know which way the temple is? Well, in his mind, he could travel yonder to that temple. Now, he's remembering the words of Solomon when that temple was dedicated about 200 years before this, when God had said, I have hallowed this house which thou hast built, speaking to Solomon, to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And then God said, if any man shall pray toward this house where my name is, I will hear their prayer and maintain their cause. Now that's what Daniel did. Remember, Daniel got thrown into a lion's den for praying, but he would go into his apartment house and he would open up the windows toward Jerusalem and he would pray toward this house, God said, where my name is, and I will hear their prayer. Daniel did that, and now then Jonah is doing that. And you know, I read this and I wondered, if this would still work. You reckon it would?
Yes.
Let me read it again. I don't see any expiration date on this. God said, if any man shall pray toward this house. Now, it's been destroyed. It was destroyed, you know, when Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed it. It was eventually rebuilt, and it was, there was a temple there when Jesus was ministering here on the earth. And then in 70 AD it was destroyed again, and they haven't had a temple since. So I just wonder if this is still in effect. If any man shall pray toward this house, where my name is, I will hear their prayer and maintain their cause. Anyway, think for a moment about the distress of Jonah. He was a rebellious man. He was a disobedient believer. But yet he still belonged to God. God did not desert him. God did not abandon him. He tried to run from God. But in spite of his predicament in this fish's belly, he instinctively called on the Lord. Prayer was his immediate reaction. It was natural, just as natural as when I think of Peter. Peter climbed out of a boat and walked on the water to go to Jesus. Walked on the water. He took his eyes off Jesus and he started sinking. And what did he do? He cried out, "Lord, save me." I mean, that came instinctively. He just automatically started praying. God heard him instantly, and God responded immediately. I'm amazed today at the sophistication of the means of communication that we have. Just yesterday, my telephone rang. And I found myself talking just as clear as though we were sitting in a chair face to face with one another. Our granddaughter, way back yonder in Boston, Massachusetts, clear across this country. "Hi, Grandpa," she says. And we just talked there for 30 minutes, I'll bet you. And it was, I could hear her and she could hear me. And she's on 3,000 miles away. I guess it's that far, is it, Sam? About that, isn't it? Long way away. And then the other morning, I got to wondering what my old boy was doing. So I picked up the telephone and I dialed his number. And he says, "Hi, Dad." I said, "Where are you?" He said, "Well, Eric and I are in the car. We're off down here in Texas. And I just passed a sign that says 70 miles to Fort Stockton." And he might as well have been sitting right across the table from me. I could hear him. I remember some years ago, we sent a satellite up yonder to the moon with some guys in it, and those guys got out and they walked around on the moon. Did you know that's a long way from here to there? It doesn't look too far sometimes, you know, when the sun, when that moon first comes up, looks like you could hit it with a rock. But it's a fur piece over there. And we could communicate with these guys on the moon. And here is Jonah in the belly of a fish out here in the ocean communicating with God in heaven. You name me one place that you can go that you can't pray from. Now sometimes if you got a cell phone and you're driving out here, you get out of range of something or other and your phone will go dead on you. But you don't have none of these dead places when you're communicating with God. You can talk to Him anywhere, anytime. And that's a marvel. Now, I want you to think about this. Jonah knew that what had happened to him was not an accident. He had not been swept off the deck of that ship by one of those great waves of the storm that was churning the waters of the sea. He accuses God of it. He says in verse 3, "Thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas." Thou. He knew God had done it. So, what did he do? Some people would have probably have cursed God. "Why did you let me get in a predicament like this?" Some people blame God when trouble comes into their lives. Jonah didn't. He knew. He knew why he was there. And he called upon God to help. So there it is. In this suffocating prison in the fish's belly, his head wrapped in seaweeds, surrounded by all of these sea creatures that this fish had swallowed. And he's in there, isolated and alone in the darkness with his own conscience. Well, when he was on the ship, he was in dire circumstances there, but at least he had company. He had the company of the sailors of the ship. But in this fish, he's utterly alone. Just him and his sin of disobedience and God. That's far worse than being in that storm up there on the surface of the sea with others. But I think it's thrilling that even though his soul, he says, was overwhelmed by his circumstances, Jonah remembered the Lord. Did you see that in verse 7? "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." He didn't whimper and cry and say, "Why is this happening to me?" He knew why. He didn't wallow in self-pity. He could see God's hand in all of this. And when he prayed, you read his prayer again. It's not a ritual prayer. It's not a memorized prayer. He didn't rehearse it before he said it. He wasn't too concerned about the choice of words that he used or the sentence structure of his petition. In times like that, we realize the importance of knowing how to pray. We don't worry about the when, it's the how. And Jonah simply poured out his soul to the Lord. He recognized the greatness and the majesty of God. He admitted God's sovereignty in life in general and in the lives of his children in particular. He knew that God was dependable, knew that God was faithful to keep his promises. And he confessed his sin of disobedience. He didn't blame his environment. He didn't blame his circumstances. He didn't blame someone else. He took the responsibility for his own actions. He didn't look to other sources for help. He didn't say, "I wish I had an idol down here so I could pray." And he made some promises to God. Promises that he kept. But I want you to see the utter impossibility of escape for Jonah from the situation he was in. He was at a dead end. He'd hit rock bottom. He was helpless in an impossible and hopeless situation. Whatever happens now will be totally God's doing. And God spake unto the fish. Now the sequel to chapter 2 is chapters 3 and 4. The word of the Lord came again unto Jonah a second time. God's giving him another chance, another opportunity. Chapters 1 and 2 are Jonah's learning experience, kind of like the three Hebrew children in Nebuchadnezzar's burning fiery furnace. It was a lesson you can't learn anywhere else. Look at it from God's standpoint. Jonah said, God, I don't want to go. I'm going to flee from your presence. God said, could have said, okay, go ahead. I'll find somebody else. I'll send somebody else to Nineveh. But God didn't want to send anybody else to Nineveh. He wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh. He wasn't going to ask anybody else. Jonah was the one that God had called and had chosen for this job. I think back to Moses at the burning bush on the backside of the desert. God said to Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go, and I want you to lead them out of Egyptian bondage across the wilderness into the promised land. Read it again. Moses didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. Weren't there other men who were just as qualified as Moses? Moses said, get somebody else to do it. I don't want to do it. God said, no, I want you to do it. Jonah could say, get somebody else to go. God would say, no, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. God has something for you and me to do that nobody else can do. He's not going to ask anyone else to do it. You say, oh, well, God's got a lot of people. He's got a lot of children. He's got a lot of saved people out here. He doesn't need me. He can use somebody else. God does not want somebody else. He's got something for somebody else to do. They're not going to do what God wants you to do. Well, He'll help us do it. He'll help us do it. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It is by God's enabling grace that we can do the things God wants us to do, because God never gives us a command to do something, but what with the command, He gives us the grace and the power and the strength to and the ability to perform what He calls us to do. Amen. You remember that. The bottom line is Jonah went to Nineveh. He preached to those people. He warned them of God's impending judgment. And what happened? The Bible says the people of Nineveh believed God. They repented. Judgment was averted, and Nineveh was spared. You know somebody that's lost and needs the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I don't know them, but you do. And God is going to say to you, witness to that person. Tell them about Jesus. Oh, let somebody else do it. You'd better look out. There are lots of big fish out there in the pond. And there may be one out there that's got a mouth big enough to swallow you. Let's stand together with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's good to be in your house. Good to have your word. We thank you for what we learn from the experience that Jonah had with you. And these things were written for our learning and for our admonition, we're told. And we ought to learn something from this. I pray today, Lord, that you'll address the need of each and every heart that's here. There may be some people here that are unsaved in this congregation. Someone that's never accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. There may be some folks here today that's looking for a church home. There may be people today who have a personal need in their lives. There may be some today that find themselves, as it were, in the belly of a great fish like Jonah was because of their disobedience. But we thank you that you are a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God, and that you care for us. We belong to you. So use us for your name's honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
470.
Number 470. Let's sing a verse of invitation. Someone here this morning may need to come. The Holy Spirit of God may have touched your heart today with this message. You do what God asks you to do. That's all we can ask you to do, is what God has for you to do. You can always go to the Lord. He's always there. He's always there. And he loves you. And he wants you to serve him. He wants to take you in his arms and hold you close to him. He wants to bless you. But most of all, he wants to save your soul if you're lost today. Keep that in mind as we look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Abel, will you dismiss us, please, in prayer?